Jeff Hornacek joins us on Sports Byline. He was a shooting guard who played 15 years in the NBA with Utah, Phoenix, and Philadelphia, and he was drafted by the Suns in the second round after playing his college ball at Iowa State. You know, Jeff, your dad was a basketball coach, and I've talked to other athletes who have had fathers who were coaches as well. What advantage does that give to an athlete as they develop as an athlete?
Well, I think I got to jump on everybody in terms of the basic fundamentals. The ball handling, just hanging around the gym, watching his practices, watching the older kids. You learn a lot. And, of course, you know, to occupy yourself during those practices, you're either dribbling, you're shooting, you're doing all that stuff. So it's a huge advantage. And then at home, if you ever have any questions, you know, you can always ask him. And he was great about not, sitting there making lectures or any of that kind of stuff. He was just there if I had questions about basketball, he could answer and help me out.
I would also assume he was an advantage when it came to the recruiting process for college. What advice did he give you there? Because you ended up being a walk-on at Iowa State.
Right. Well, I wasn't highly recruited, even though I was one of the top couple of players in the state of Illinois that year. But I played in a system that was a slowdown system. We weren't a fast-breaking, played a lot of zones. So I think a lot of colleges were wondering if I'd be able to play man-to-man and at that level. And what it came down to was he knew a coach in the Chicago area that was an assistant at Iowa State, and a guy named Gary Cook. And Gary said, "Oh, my dad, well, if I want to come to Iowa State and kind of walk on, they're having trouble with their guards." And just happened to be the two guards were from the Chicago area, and I was higher rated on all state teams and stuff. So I think I can go there and earn a scholarship and play.
You know, one of the things that impressed me when I read that was the fact that you kind of subjugated your ego and said, "Hey, I want to play basketball. Okay, I'm not getting a scholarship. I'm not a starting five, but I'm going to show them what I can do." And not everybody can do that. What was the reason for you being able to do it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I was sensible. I think the problem is a lot of these kids come in out of high school. You know, they're 18 years old, and they expect to jump right into college and start in front of guys that are 21, 22 years old. And, I went in with a kind of more realistic thing. And in high school, not a lot of times you're playing as a freshman on the varsity team. So, you know, why would you expect to do that in college? So I figured I would have a couple of years to work on my game and earn those minutes.
You played for Johnny Orr there. What kind of coach was he?
He was awesome. He was, when you talk about players, coaches, he would definitely, be categorized as one of those. He let us play. He put us in situations to have fun and enjoy the game of basketball. And so when we went out there and played, we were just kind of freewheeling it a little bit. We had some structure, but he allowed us to use our abilities to for the good of the team. And, you know, he didn't try to say, "Okay, you need to do this, you need to do that." He lets you be creative. I remember times when I was throwing the ball off guys' heads because they weren't looking, and I thought they were open because their defender wasn't even looking, and I'd hit guys, and Coach Moore pulled me aside. He goes, "I don't care about the turnovers. They're eventually going to realize that they better look or they're going to get hit in the head, so keep throwing them." And stuff like that really helped help players out.
I know at each level, whether it's high school or whether it's college or the NBA, there's a different style. Coaches have different styles with players trying to get the most out of them. At the college level, is it still a teaching situation, or what's the secret there at that level?
Well, again, I think it's changing. With guys stay for 3-4 years for at least. So coaches were able to teach you, put you in systems, and you got to learn year after year. Now, with the NBA, how many one-and-dones there are, that seems to be the new thing now. That I'm not sure how much these college coaches can really coach them because they only have them for, the preseason. They got to get ready for their year, and they're limited to practice times. And so when we get them in the NBA at that age, you're trying to teach them a lot of things. So, college kind of is turning into more about recruiting and getting those top guys if you want to be one of those final 8 or 16 teams.
It's interesting. I think you remember this. One word I used to hear from every coach at every level was, well, we've got to have continuity. Well, that went out the window with the one and done, as you know, Jeff, and also with free agency in basketball as well. And I'm just wondering, how does a coach create continuity today in professional basketball or college basketball?
Well, I think it's very difficult. You can look at the teams that are good. You have to get lucky. You have to have your star players take less money so that, depending on a lot of the way the salary cap works, the teams aren't allowed, or, even if they wanted to, not able to pay guys maximum deals unless they're one of the top, guys in the league. And so, you have to have those guys accept less so that they can fill in their rosters. And then when you do that, then you have a chance. But, we had a situation, we had Channing Frye this year, and comes off a heart thing, and we put him in situations to really do well, and he goes and signs somewhere else. So it's very difficult in the NBA game because these guys are looking for the where their next big paycheck's going to come from.
Let me take you back to Iowa State for just a moment. Johnny Orr called it the greatest victory of his career, and you helped him get it. It was that game in the NCAA tournament in Minneapolis. You hit the shot that tied the game. And then, of course, you sent it into overtime, and then you hit the game-winning shot in overtime. What do you remember most about that game?
Well, I think it was, we were, an 8-9 game in that first round. We were playing against Ron Harper, who, was an All-American player there at Miami of Ohio. And, it was kind of a back-and-forth game, and, it looked kind of grim. I think we were down by maybe 4 or 5 points with the about a minute to go, and we happened to make a couple buckets and, send it into overtime. And, he may say that was the biggest win. I think it was the next game when we beat Michigan, Billy Packer. And, we started that game, and that was that Michigan team that was really good. I think they were ranked fourth or fifth in the country. And, we came out, we were down 11-2, and I think it was Billy Packer said, oh, this is like watching the men against the boys. and being Coach Orr's alma mater, or where he coached before, we came back and won that game, and he was sick, and that was even a bigger game, for him, because it was Michigan, and they were so highly ranked.
When you left Iowa State, eventually you were the fourth player in Cyclone basketball history to have your number 14 retired. You get drafted in the second round by the Suns. What were you labeled as you were going into the draft? What did people think of Jeff Hornacek as an NBA possibility?
Well, I think they probably just felt that I wouldn't be fast enough to, I was a point guard, and the thought would be, it's probably not quick enough to guard these guys in the league, maybe a smart player. But the biggest thing that I, I had John McLeod as my coach, and, he said, hey, you're our point guard. When you're out there, just get the ball to Walter Davis, Larry Nance, Alvin Adams, the perennial all-stars, and, you'll do fine. And he gave me great confidence to let me call the plays that I wanted to call. He didn't direct me into, looking to the sideline every time for a play. And, so I was probably obviously a long shot to make it. I think being a coach's son helped me because I didn't do anything fancy. I just did things that would try to help the team.
Of all the sports and all the positions in sports, I really think being a point guard in professional basketball is the most difficult, and I'll tell you the reason why. One, you have to understand the tempo of the game. Two, you have to know who on your team has the hot hand. And three, you really can't think about anything. It has to be instinctive. Am I correct in that observation?
I think so. You're out there in control. You can kind of read guys' body language when they've run a couple times up and down the court and they didn't get the ball. They're all of a sudden they're not going to play defense. So you always have to try to balance those things out. And, that's one thing as a coach now that I'm constantly trying to talk to our point guards. I see situations, a fast break, a guy gets the block shot, reward the guy if he's still in the lane. Sometimes they pass to the other guy, and I'm like, oh, man, that's a perfect time. You want that guy to continue blocking shots, then give him the layup or the dunk. So, the point guard position, you look at all the great players in the NBA, a lot of them are the point guards.
I got to tell you, I kind of smiled a little bit when I looked at the statement that you made about your coaching style. You say it's reminiscent to that of Cotton Fitzsimmons and Jerry Sloan. Now, I know both those gentlemen, and I'm just wondering, can you explain what you mean by that, what that style is?
Yeah, I think I've used everything from almost every coach I've ever had, including my dad. And, Jerry's intensity is, pushing you to do your best. You know, there are times that, I'll get mad at these guys and jump their cases for something. But then again, Cotton Fitzsimmons was the one who was very, very positive in everything. And in a way, that helps you to get the best out of the players. You know, John McLeod was a guy, the half-court offense, and his kind of middle ground between those two guys is probably what I'm trying to be the most of. It's reading your players. Some guys, you could yell at. You can yell and scream at them, and that'll fire them up to do even better. Other guys you yell at like that, they just go in a shell, and now all of a sudden they become worse. So it's all coaches are trying to find that balance of which guys you can yell at, which guys you have to praise, which guys you have to challenge in different ways.
A tag that was put on you, and I thought it was interesting, you were a perfect third option on offense. And I don't think most people understand what that means. And I have an appreciation for it because if you're the third option, you got to be in the game. But if it's going to the first two options, sometimes you can't find the rhythm. Was that hard for you to do, to be that third option?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. When I was in Phoenix, I had Kevin Johnson, Tom Chambers, and most of the focus goes to those two guys. And it's when you're the third guy, you're the guy that probably is going to really have to do some things because of teams focus on the first two. When I went to Philadelphia and I got traded for Barkley, I was the main guy. I was the number one guy, and then you realize how difficult it is. Every time I got by one guy, there's another guy right in my lap, and you never got a free shot. You never got anything easy, and that's why these guys that are at the top of the game, the one or two stars, they're really good players, and the third guy is a guy that has to help your team get to that next level.
I think about you with the Utah Jazz, and you played with Karl Malone and John Stockton, two Hall of Famers. And as you had a chance to be on the floor with them as a professional basketball player, taking a look at two other outstanding basketball players, what appreciation did you have for their talents?
Well, obviously playing against them for so many years prior to that, I knew, how great of players they were. I had to guard John for 5-6 years, which wasn't any fun. But I think once you start playing with the guys, that appreciation level goes up even higher. For example, Carl, playing against him, you never really saw his passing. You don't see the behind-the-scenes work ethic that he puts into the game. When you see that day in and day out, you just marvel at what these guys can do. And the same with John. He gets out there, again, a competitor not only during the games but in practice. I think that's what takes the teams to that next level, is teams that can have those competitive practices, because you can't always just turn it on. And John was a guy, it didn't matter if it was practice, pickup game at the gym, he wanted to win, and guys followed that.
We only have 30 seconds left. Does it still pain you, those playoff series against the Bulls in 97 and 98?
97 doesn't, because I thought the Bulls were the better team. 98 does, because I thought we were the better team. It just happened to be, we had 10 days off going into the finals because we had, blown through the playoffs. I think we were 12-1. We only lost one game going into the finals and had a long break. And we got back to playing, good basketball, but we were on such a roll, I don't think we ever got back to that level. And that was the level we needed to beat the, Michael Jordan team. So. Probably the second year hurts more than the first year.
Well, I got to tell you, it's fun watching your son's team. You're doing a great job down there, but I also enjoyed watching you when you were playing in the NBA. Thank you for joining us here on Sports Byline, and come back and join us again, Jeff.
Will do. Thanks, Ron.
Jeff Hornacek with us, a fine shooting guard who played 15 years in the NBA, playing with Utah for 7, Phoenix for 6, and Philadelphia for 2. and he was drafted in the second round after playing his college ball at Iowa State. Very, very fine player and also now a coach. We continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.